The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
So good to be with you today. And thank you for calling on me, Brother Tim. It's good to see all your smiling faces. Amen. I hope I'm smiling back. I tried to shake everybody's hand this morning, but I'm sure I missed a few. You know, people come in different doors and et cetera, but I was standing back there at the back, and I've just noticed that when you're trying to speak to people, that it kind of helps if you've said hi to them first. They're not sitting there trying to figure out who you are. And I was a little disappointed there. Almost everyone had come in, and my father-in-law was running a little late, and he came up and he said, "Neil, I think you're hurting the attendance standing back here in front of the building." But you know, he loves me, I know, in spite of what he says. He said, "Well, Tony, the only reason I was standing back here was to try to run you off when you showed up and it didn't work. So maybe I didn't run anybody else off, I hope. But I sure am glad to see you all. I hope I didn't run anybody off. And I hope that the things that we say today would be honoring to the Lord. I would like to read to you from John, the 14th chapter, some words that I hope are words of comfort. I noticed one of the prayer requests was in regards to the people who went through the recent hurricanes. And you know, when things like that happen, and I say happen on purpose because sometimes they do seem to just happen, you know, we wonder, what's God's role in this? And what about these people that are suffering? And what is the ultimate end to all of this? Is the Lord really our comforter? Does He really care about us? You know, we see tragedies in the world. We see tragedies in life. What does it all mean? And of course, Jesus addressed these things Himself when He was here preaching, and then He inspired the apostles to write many words for our benefit that also help us with that. And I'd like to read some of those today. In John, the 14th chapter, I read this in the first verse. We're going to skip around a little bit so we can get to a number of passages of Scripture, I hope. "Let not your heart be troubled." These are the words of the Lord. "Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, the disciples really didn't want to hear at this point that the Lord was going to go anywhere because the Lord is ministering. You know, He's going around and healing people and raising people from the dead. And the idea that the Lord would leave them wasn't good news to them.
Right.
But the Lord goes on and gives them a little more information. If you move down with me to verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." The Lord's saying, "I'm telling you these things while I'm still with you, and I'm telling you for a reason, that I'm not going to be here always. I'm going to leave you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things." Pay attention to that phrase, "all things." We're going to talk about that a little while this morning, if the Lord would help us. "And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you." In other words, the Lord said, "I'm going to physically leave this earth, but I'm going to leave you with peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth."
Right.
So He's not giving you things that the world already gives you. The disciples thought maybe that was why He came, perhaps, was to give them a kingdom, to restore the Jewish nation to prominence, to take all their problems away, to set up some sort of utopia here on earth. That's not why the Lord came. And the Lord's telling them that. He said, "I'm not giving you something that the world gives you. The world gives you lots of stuff, but that's not what I'm about." He said, "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved Me, ye would rejoice." Jesus is saying to the disciples, "Look, I'm going to leave, and if you love Me, you should be excited about that." Why? Because He's gone beyond this veil of shadow and tears to procure something else for us. That's why He came. Right? I mean, He did a lot of things when He was here, and thank the Lord He told us why He came, and He came to redeem our souls, so that what we see here in this life wouldn't be the only thing we have to look forward to. And He said, "I go away and come again unto you. If you love Me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, because My Father is greater than I." In other words, the Lord said, "You're seeing Me do a lot of things while I minister here on the earth, but I'm going to do something greater than that, something that will last beyond even this very planet, this very existence. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in Me." Pay also attention to that phrase. There is a prince of this world that doesn't have anything to do with the Lord. He's against the Lord. He works against the Lord. The Lord's not for him. He's not for the Lord. But the Lord has overcome him. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Now, I want to read one more passage of Scripture to you here before we go anywhere else, and that is over in just a couple chapters over in John the 16th chapter, the 33rd verse. You're very familiar with this. We sing a beautiful song written by your pastor that uses these very words. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, Brother Neil, it doesn't look to me like the Lord overcame the world. There's still things going on that trouble us. We see hurricanes and people get sick. And we requested prayer this morning for people that were young that are sick. Those are bad things. That doesn't look like he's overcome. And I think what we have to do when we see bad things happen and when things around us don't seem to be going too well is step back a little bit and understand what the Lord was saying here. The Lord said, I'm giving you peace. I'm giving you something. And I am going past this world somewhere else to procure something for you that is not about this world. Amen. And he said, I am not giving to you the way the world gives. How does the world give? Now think about it with me for a minute. The world is an Indian giver. You know what that is, children, right? An Indian giver is when somebody gives something to you, they come and take it back, right? You see, the world will promise you lots of stuff. The world will promise you pleasure. It'll promise you fun. It'll promise you fulfillment. And then you have to pay the piper at the end of it all. The Lord came to give you something you couldn't pay for. And you wouldn't have wanted to pay for it until he paid for it and gave it to you to begin with. You had no vision of it in yourself. And that's why the Lord came. The Lord didn't come to just to give us more stuff we could see. The disciples had that backward for a while. They thought he's going to give us a kingdom. We're going to rule with him here on earth. It's going to be great. It's going to be perfect. It's going to go on forever. He can raise the dead. He'll just keep us healthy forever. He'll give us everything we want, everything we need while we're here in existence on this planet. That's not what he came to do. He doesn't give like the world gave. Now, the world, as it's used here, refers to the word cosmos, and it encompasses a lot of things. And I think of it this way. There are three things that make up the, quote, world that you see. Because if you look around you, what do we see today? Well, we see each other, and we see a physical environment, a physical planet. We don't see the enemy that's mentioned here, but he's also part of this cosmos that we live and move through and deal with while we walk through this life with breath in our bodies. So there's really a triune cause of the things that we see going on around us, if you will. One is Satan himself. He's a powerful being, and he stirs up a lot of mischief in this world. Now, the Lord is more powerful. The Lord can choose to intervene and stop him wherever he decides to, and he does. I believe he restrains him for the sake of the church. But don't forget about Satan. You know, every time you pass by a billboard with some trashy message on it, you can just attribute that one to Satan. God doesn't do that, okay? And I'm just going to say that right now before we go any further, but I don't want to dwell too long for sake of time. But there is no sin in God, okay? 1 John, the first chapter, he is all light. There is no darkness in him at all. There's no sin in God. Amen. James tells us that. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. We are tempted, we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. 1 John, the second chapter, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, okay? So God is not sin. There's no sin in God. He doesn't make people sin. He doesn't tempt people to sin. When you're tempted by something perhaps that Satan put out there on a billboard or on your computer screen, and you're drawn away of your own lust. That's the only reason it's a temptation for you, is because you have lust in you that causes you to lust after those things. When it is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So part of the triune cause of the bad things we see around us is Satan. The second thing is that we just lived on a sin-cursed earth. The ground of this earth was cursed when Adam sinned, and it began to bring forth things that were not good for mankind. Briars. We were out on a power line the other day trying to shoot a few doves, which, as it turned out, we didn't shoot any. And Andrew was sitting beside me swatting mosquitoes. And he said, Daddy, what are mosquitoes here because of sin? And I said, yes, they're here because of sin. He said, how do you know? I said, because on the other side of the world, mosquitoes get people malaria and they die like flies over there because of mosquitoes. And death comes from sin. So mosquitoes have to be part of the curse. And then, you know, he backed up against a thorn patch and he said, ow. And that struck him in. He said, Daddy, do briars come from sin? I said, oh, yes. That's the result of sin. They didn't have to worry about this in the garden. They were naked. They didn't even need shoes. There weren't any briars. Then God cursed the earth for our sake, and now bad things happen because the ground is cursed. And some of the things that happen, happen more regionally. I mean, think about it. I know we were all just torn up to hear about those hurricanes. That's a horrible, horrible thing to happen. You know, people don't worry about those too much in Montana. You ever thought about that? Some things happen as a curse of sin, and they happen regionally. If you don't want to ever have to worry about dying of a hurricane, you can move to Montana. Now, you might freeze to death, which you would never have to worry about in Barbuda. Right? You want to get away from hurricanes? Move north. You want to get away from the cold? Move south. You want to find perfection on this planet? Forget it. You want to move somewhere with good weather? Move to California. And then you're going to have other problems. Because when you find a place where the weather's good and it's not too bad, well, now you got earthquakes. And now you got everybody moving into one place, and you get a bunch of liberal people, and the next thing you know, there's diseases going around, and there's liberal ideologies, and then there's all another kind of curse. There's no perfection on this planet. It is cursed. Now, it's still a good place to live, and I thank God for the joys I've experienced here in the great natural world that He made, and I love a lot of it. But it will kill you. You know, you can fall in the Grand Canyon and die. You can go hunting on a cold day in Alabama and get lost and literally freeze to death in Alabama in the wintertime. Oh, yes. Nature will kill you. It's not friendly to you, all right? The third thing is us, because we have sin in us. We have a sinful nature that we inherited from Adam. So I think of these three things as the three S's. There's Satan, all right? There's a sin-cursed earth, and then we're the sons of Adam. And most of the bad things that go on around us are attributable to one of those three things. Now, there are times when God chastens you and punishes you. We sang that a while ago. Should sudden vengeance seize my breath, I must pronounce thee just in death. When the Lord decides that it's my time to go, listen, I cannot fault God for that. Now, I might bring it on myself quicker by some of my actions. Or I might live peaceably in this life and live a godly life, I hope, and die, you know, in a bed of old age someday. But either way, I can't blame God. You know, He didn't have to give me a single breath on this planet. And yet He did. Okay? So those things assault us. Now, the Lord says, I've come to give you peace. I did not come to give you things that the world gives you. What does the world give you, really? Like I said, the world's an Indian giver. It gives and it takes. You say, well, I've heard at a funeral that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Well, now, that's a quote from Job, and we'll read it real quick. Job says this in Job 121, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither, which is very true. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What Job didn't understand, though, at that particular moment, was that the Lord hadn't taken those things away from him. One of the three S's did. It was Satan. Now, the very blessings that he had to begin with were due to God's protection. Okay, but Satan came and destroyed some things. So when we see things happen around us that we don't understand, and I have had things like that happen in my own life, death of close family members, death of friends, physical afflictions, you know, debt and financial uncertainty. I've been there. I haven't experienced everything you have, and I haven't experienced it in the same way, but I've lived long enough to feel some trouble. As Brother Tim said last week, we should not stand back in those moments and shake our fist at God. Understand, if Jesus hadn't come to this planet and walked around himself among those three S's, that is the sons of man, the sins cursed earth, and faced off Satan himself, listen, that's all we would have. That's it. All we could hope for would be what the atheists hope for today, which is a long life with lots of pleasure and a quick death with no memory. And nothing beyond this. The very fact we have a hope, the very fact that we have something to look forward to, the very fact that probably some of those people that died in that hurricane were God's children and they're with Him right now, as sure as we're sitting here today, is because Jesus came and He didn't give the way the world gave. What the world will give you is death. What Satan will give you is degradation. And what he wants to do is knock your feet out from under you, stomp on you, chew you up, and spit you out. And that is not what Jesus came to do. What did He come to do, Brother Neil? In the last few minutes, let's look in Romans chapter 8 and let's read about it. Because all these are written down there for us too. We go to many other places. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said, I've been able to abound. I've been able to handle plenty. I've been able to be abased. I've been able to handle nothing and being hungry and cold and naked because Christ strengthens me. The Lord said right here, I'll send my Spirit and teach you all things you need to know. So the Lord's got some things for you. He's got strength in His Spirit. He's got teaching through His Spirit. He's got teaching through His Word. But the Lord doesn't send all things your way. Understand, some things come your way because of Satan. Some things in this life come your way because of your own sin. And some things in this life come because, well, maybe you live in South Florida and not Montana. But give it a few months, and it'll be miserable in Montana. All right? You know, this world's like that. We get a few days of peace. We get a few days of prosperity, and then it turns. Don't put your hope here, right? Look beyond this. Romans chapter 8. Look there with me, and I'll try to be brief. I told you that we suffer mainly because of these three S's. Now, you might think of some other things. This is just my simple way of thinking about it, okay? Because we're sons of Adam, we've inherited a sin nature. And we read about that in Romans chapter 8, the 6th verse. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. So in other words, when we're born into this world, we're born in the flesh. Unless you're born again in your mother's womb, you've not been spiritually born again, you just have the flesh. That flesh fights against you. That flesh, from the time it enters this world until the time it leaves, is involved in one titanic struggle with the elements. To have enough food, to have enough oxygen, to have enough money. You know, all the other things that we need in this life. Well, what has God done about that? Well, we know that if we have a hope in Him, we've been born again. Amen. We know that He sent His Spirit to us to relieve us from that. So that we're not just led by the flesh. Because we read this in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How do you get to be a son of God? For you have not received the spirit of fear, have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear in verse 15, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What has God given me that takes the place of this sinful nature that I inherited from my father and from his father and from all those generations back to Adam's sin? The Spirit of God. You see, He's made provision for that. And He doesn't take it away. That's the great part. Once you're born again, you're just born again. And thank God. And if you love Him, if you had a hope in Him, if you had a desire to be here this morning, you might be living in sin and you might be under conviction right now for something you're doing wrong. But if you had a smidgen of a hope in your heart that Jesus died for you and a desire to come to church, thank God. And I thank God for you, whoever you are and whatever your name is, because that means His Spirit is in you and you are not just a son of Adam and a daughter of Eve. You're a son of the King. You're a daughter of the King and you will be with Him someday. Now, it behooves you to walk as righteously as you can in this life for His honor and your benefit. Right. But you're His child. Don't worry about what comes next. Amen. What about the sinfulness of just the fact that this earth is cursed in sin? Hurricanes, tornadoes, you know, frostbite, right? Things like that. Ultraviolet light out there. So beautiful out there today. Go out there without your sunscreen and just lay there for 2 or 3 hours. You'll burn, right? That ultraviolet light will ionize and burn your skin. And it will penetrate through that to the dermal layer of your skin and start causing changes that lead to skin cancer. Is that my fault? No. Is that your fault? No. Where's that protective layer of water barrier that used to be around this planet that protected Adam and Eve from all that? Gone in the flood, brothers and sisters. And we've been living shorter spans of time ever since. Up until the last 100 years or so, modern medicine gave us a few extra years. I'm glad for that. But we're not going to live forever. Not here. Why? For the creature was made subject to vanity, verse 20, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You're a child of God, so someday you're going to be delivered out of this into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. What about the people groaning in the hurricanes? Yes, they're groaning. There are people on the other side of the world groaning from other stuff. And some of y'all are sitting there today, I know probably, groaning from something right now. We all do. We groan and we hurt. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Because you're a son or daughter, someday you're going to be taken out of this and taken away. Away from the sinfulness, away from the hurricanes, away from the tornadoes, away from the cancer, away from the death, all of those things. What made that possible? The fact that the Lord came, and He's not an Indian giver. He didn't give you spiritual life and say, I think I'll take it back. No, He didn't work that way. He didn't give like the world gives. The world supports you here by virtue of the fact that crops grow and you eat them for 60, 70, 80, 90 years, maybe shorter if you're in a car wreck or you get cancer or something like that. And boy, it claws it back though, doesn't it? You know, gravity wears you down. Toil wears you down. You get where you can't see and you can't walk and it's just down, down, down. The Lord's not like that.
Amen.
Okay? When he gave you spiritual life, let me tell you, from eternity past, when he said, "This is my child, this is my son, this is my daughter, they'll be with me someday," in his mind it's immutably fixed. You're going to be there. We're saved by hope. For hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, one of the other hope for. And then, of course, we go on down into verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, here we're talking about some things that come directly from God. As I said, God doesn't make you sin. He's not responsible if you suffer the consequences of some sinful action in this life. If you go out in the world and you mess around and you catch some kind of bad disease and you die from it, that's not God's fault. He's not responsible for that. And he didn't cause that to come to you. Your behavior did. All right? Now, there might be times when God is perfectly just. If he decided to send a regional tornado to some area and wipe out some wicked folks, he would be just to do that. But by and large, he doesn't work that way. I understand if I decide to move to Florida that every 2, 3, 5, 10 years, a bad hurricane's going to come along. It's going to be bad. All right? If I decide to move to Montana, I all know about 6 months out of the year, everything will be negative 25 degrees or something like that, right? I mean, I know that, okay? I mean, those are things that happen in this world. God doesn't have to directly send that my way. Right. It's coming. That's right. But here's some things that God intentionally did on purpose for you. They're all good. There's nothing bad in them. And you don't have to worry about whether they're going to happen. Because they don't just happen. They were purposed.
Right.
And let's read on. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. There's some things that happen in this life that don't work for your good and that don't work together with anything God is doing because they're sinful. And the Lord said, that prince, the prince of the power of the air, as he's called in Ephesians chapter 2, has no part in the Lord. No part in him. So here's some things, though, that the Lord has done. All these things work together for you, and they're according to the purpose of God, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Listen, that takes care of the fact that you naturally are a son of Adam, because you're going to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Perfection someday. When you die and you cast off this flesh and your spirit is with the Lord, you're not going to sin anymore. You're not going to have a sin nature. And someday he'll come and resurrect that body also. For now, though, we are in sinful flesh, and we suffer some things because of that. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified. The calling there is being called by the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 5, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And by the way, they're not ever going to die, not in a spiritual way. Physically, yes. Spiritually, no. Once you've been called by the irresistible call of grace, when God sends his spirit into your heart, it never changes. You are his. You were bought when he died on the cross. You're called by the Spirit. And we go on down here and we read that we are justified. So we read about these things. Okay, what about the fact that I'm a son of Adam? Well, you're a son of God now. You're adopted. What about the fact that I live on a sin-cursed earth? Listen, what he says right here also is that not only are you just justified, you're also glorified in his mind. That means you're not going to be here on this earth forever. You're going to be glorified with him. And we hear about somebody dying. We ought to pray for their family and be sad for their family. But if they're a child of God, they have a hope in grace. Listen, we ought to be thrilled to death for them. Because they have received the fulfillment of the promise. See, in God's mind, we're glorified as children of God. But we don't feel too much like it, do we? When we get up in the morning and we got a headache or our back hurts. Oh, I don't feel glorified. Because you're not glorified yet in that way. But you will be. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
You're against yourself. My worst enemy is me. Your worst enemy is you. Your second worst enemy is Satan. And your third worst enemy is the fact you're walking around on a planet that's very, very dangerous, okay? In the flesh, those are our enemies. We don't have those in the spirit anymore. You know why? Because the Lord has conquered all that for us. And we go on and read this in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Will hurricanes separate you from the love of Christ? Will famine separate you from the love of Christ? Will your own actions separate you from the love of Christ? In a spiritual way, no. Now, you can act in a certain way in this life that sure interrupts your fellowship with Christ and makes you feel guilty and makes you feel conviction and condemnation. And if you're feeling that today, repent. Change it. Look, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can throw that off. And even though I'm a sinner, I can live godly in His kingdom by His grace. Do that today. Shall distress, what is that? That's worry. Will worry separate you from the love of God? No. Because there's nothing you can worry about enough to undo what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. You can worry about your salvation. You can wonder if you're a child of God. But if you've got a hope in there for a half second in your brain in this life, you're one of His children because He put it there. And you're going to be His. Don't drown it out. Embrace it. Join the church. Shall famine or nakedness or peril or sword? With somebody killing you? Those poor people that are martyred over in the Middle East almost day by day. It's so sad. It's so horrible. Does that separate them from the love of Christ? No. Oh, no. We know what the Lord did when Stephen was being martyred, do we not? Amen. We're all going to leave this world some way. And you can read in Acts about the martyr Stephen, how he died at the hands of sinful men, stoning him to death. And as he looked up, the heavens were opened for a moment for him to see the Son of God standing, waiting for that Spirit to be with him. Don't worry about your death. Now, your family needs to worry about it. You know, they're going to hurt. They're going to be sad. You don't need to, because you're going to be with the Lord. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death... That's great to know. When I die, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Nor life. That's also great to know. Nothing I do in this life is going to separate me from the love of Christ. And I don't want to lose fellowship either. So I want to live in a way that He will be pleased about. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. See, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ because Christ is not an Indian giver. Amen. What He gives takes. It holds, it secures, it's eternal. It is our blessed privilege in this life to come together once a week, twice a week, and talk about it. Our youngest daughter, Ava, had a birthday today. For the last 3 days, she's been preparing for it. Yesterday, she did the strangest thing I have ever seen her do. She got a laundry basket and brought in the kitchen and started loading it up with food for a picnic today. And she said, "What else do we need?" I've never seen her participate in, you know, loading up food for the next day or loading up the car, but she was yesterday because today's her birthday. You know what we're doing today? I hope we came here today to hear about what's coming next. Amen. Yeah, it might be tomorrow. It might be 10 years from now. But see, we're getting ready to go on a journey. It's going to be better than a birthday. It's going to be better than anything we could see here. You go look at some beautiful things on this planet, but they fade. They're in decay. They're falling apart. Get a new car 2 years later, it ain't new anymore, is it? Get a new house 10 years later, the air conditioner's gone. You got to buy a new one. It's just decay, 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 decay. Listen, there's something in you that's eternal. It's the very Spirit of God. And I can't wait till the day, I'm not asking for it today, but when I get to leave here, and as it were, you get to open that birthday present. You really get to open that gift He gave you. Then you get to look Him in the eye and hug His neck and bow at His feet and say thank you that you weren't an Indian giver. Thank you that when you gave, it stuck. And He's yours today. You're His. Let's just celebrate it. If you never joined the church, I'll tell you, the best way you can start off is just walk down the aisle, shake Brother Tim's hand, tell him you love the Lord, you believe the Lord died for you, and let Him baptize you. And start walking in it. It's a beautiful thing. I love you. Thank you for your time.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.